Greetings. It is me, Mr. Andy Dowling. I thought I would utilize this crazy device called an iPhone, which I've got hooked up to my headphones. I'm currently en route to Wollongong. Just going down for a rehearsal slash audition. We're in the process of hopefully securing a permanent drummer. We've already had him in for one session a few days ago, and we're getting him back again. Giving him a few things to work on, and I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that tonight we'll have a pretty good idea of as to whether we're going to stick with this guy or unfortunately go back to this drawing board and keep ploughing through and scraping the barrel, hoping for that we'll find someone along the way. But part of this podcast thing that I'm doing is I'm going to throw a few smaller episodes in along the way, as I mentioned in my intro, my first episode. So I'm just going to test the quality of this to see how good it is. Obviously, there's a lot of background noise with the car driving down the highway, and because I'm using a crappy little iPhone headphone microphone, so we'll just see how it all goes. So if when I play it back and the sound's okay, then I'll chuck it online, and if it sounds like shit, then well, you'll never hear it. So there you go. I was trying to think of a little topic that I could touch base on for this particular episode, and I'm not sure what number episode this will be, so I'll just probably just sneak it in somewhere along the way. But I thought I would talk about my failed meeting with John Farnham the other night. So I think I'm going to call this podcast The Night I Didn't Meet John Farnham. So hopefully that'll gain a little bit of interest. So if you've come here purely because of that title, then the title worked. Awesome. So now I've got to back it up with an interesting story. So to give a bit of background, John Farnham just completed a tour with Olivia Newton-John. They call the tour Two Strong Hearts. For those aren't aware of John Farnham's back catalogue, Two Strong Hearts is one of his, I guess, more popular songs. Pretty killer track, I enjoy. And I think the format, I don't know if it was advertised that way, but, you know, they'd be collaborating on stage together and singing each other's songs and duets and all this. And initially I was pretty excited by it, but I wanted to go, but the Olivia Newton-John aspect of it sort of made me think, maybe I don't really want to go to this at all. And the tickets were just crazy expensive. I think the cheapest ones were like $120, and they just went up from there. So anyway, I sort of this was several months back, and then I just proceeded to forget about it completely. Anyway, the other night we were down in Wollongong, as I said before, and doing a drummer audition. And Mark goes, "Oh, what are you up to tomorrow night?" And this was Saturday night, talking about Sunday night. And just looked at him and said, "Oh, I don't know, nothing." And he's like, "Oh, do you want to go and see John Farnham for free and go backstage?" And I just looked at him. I didn't even say anything. And he said, "Do you?" And I'm like, "Don't fuck with me, man. Do not fuck with me. This is not funny. Don't pull on my heartstrings like this." And just to give a better background, like, John Farnham is my all-time favourite singer. In my opinion, and as we all know, opinions are subjective, I think he's the greatest singer to have ever lived. Yeah, maybe Freddie Mercury. Yeah, there might be other people out there that could be certainly in the running, but nah, for me, John Farnham. No one comes close to him. Ooh, and that's a pun there. Now, luckily for me, Mark was serious. He wasn't actually pulling my leg for once. So I said yes. Sounds good. And so he hooked me up with his mate, or friend of a mutual friend, but more so Mark's friend, who had the door spot and the pass. So to give a bit of background on that, Mark's friend is good friends with one of John Farnham's backing singers, of all people. They've collaborated together on a couple of projects in the past, have travelled together to Japan to try and push a career of a mutual interest, a mutual singer that they knew. They've worked together in the past, and no doubt will work again together in the future. So he got the invite from her, and I assumed that it was a two-person spot. So initially he went to Mark and said if Mark was available, and due to other commitments, Mark couldn't make it. So I got lucky and got the sloppy seconds, which No problem for me whatsoever.
So, unroll Sunday, and I was just in the worst mood. A couple other things happened during the day that had no relation to anything whatsoever that I'm talking about. And I was just in such a bummed out mood, and I almost decided not to go to John Farnham at all. I almost sort of just went, I can't be bothered. And Jess just turned around and said to me, no, go, like, you're going to regret it. And I knew I'd regret it, and it took a lot of umming and ahhing, and it wasn't until, like, right the last minute before I'd have to go that I decided that I'd go. So I almost missed out on this great opportunity to see John Farnham, play live again, sing all their hits and whatever else, and see him in a new and unique setting, and the potential of going backstage. Now, with the backstage part, Mark mentioned it first initially, but then when I spoke to our friend, he never mentioned it again. So I just sort of went, you know what, I'm not going to ask that because I don't want to look like I'm taking advantage or anything of the sort. I'm just going to be very grateful for the initial offer of just getting in for free and saving that shitload of money that you know, potentially could have been spent to go and see him. So anyway, obviously decided to go, got into the city, went and had a quick sneaky beer while I waited for my mate to rock up. And anyway, so he shows up and we go in. Now, let me just say, the show was absolutely incredible. It was crazy. Started off with both of them coming out straight away. They opened the show with Two Strong Hearts to coincide with the tour. They traded off verses, so Olivia was singing some of the verses, which was pretty cool. And Farnsie, my God. This guy is 65 years old. He's seen better days when you look at him. To be honest, like, he's 65. You know, I'm always watching the classic Jack DVDs where he's got this full head of mullet hanging off his noggin, and he's belting out these tunes. And he just looks so youthful and full of charisma and whatnot. And then when I saw the tour posters for this tour, and John just looks so old compared to a few years back. And I think in hindsight, looking at it now, I think he's lost a lot of weight. And I think that's just sort of happened. He's just lost a lot of weight from his face. And obviously being 65 years old, he's just probably aged very, very quickly in a short space of time from when you're looking at him. Anyway, regardless of the aesthetics to it all, my God, this guy was on another level. Now, I'd seen him several years ago at Star City with TY, our old drummer. And it was fantastic. But at times he smashes it, but at times it seemed like he was just peaking a little bit, or he was a little bit tired in certain aspects, certain points along the way through the set. This show the other night, there was no signs of that. Not only did he sing the songs and nail them, he decided just that he would sing these songs in a way that was completely unnecessary. He didn't need to sing these particular vocal lines, but he bounced all around them. He smashed them. He went so higher than what's on the album. And I've seen him do it live before. I've seen the live stuff, but to see a 65-year-old do this and see him do it in a way that you could tell that he was really enjoying it and that he was just playing around the song and almost in an improv sort of way in certain points was just mind-blowing. And it just reinforced my absolute love for this guy. This guy is just incredible. So anyway, they did the first song, and then John ran off stage, and Olivia did a couple of songs. Then they got back on, did a song together. Then Olivia disappeared, and then John Farnham did a bunch of songs. And he played, like, No One Comes Close and Love to Shine in succession, and I could not believe it. I could not believe these songs were getting played. I'd never heard them live before, and I know that he did Whispering Jack in its entirety on a previous tour, which I didn't get a chance to go to, but this was just mind-blowing. It was fantastic. So the set just sort of went from there. They had intermission in between, and then they came back on. They varied it, you know, John or just Olivia on their own or both of them together. They did Olivia Newton-John songs. They did John Farnham songs. They did Grease stuff. Mind you, I hate Grease, but it was still awesome to see them sing this stuff. Yeah, the show was absolutely incredible. The band was so tight. The band played everything at correct speed, or if not a little bit faster than album speed. only a slight variation, but you know, with a lot of sort of Asian performers, usually things are slowed down, the tempos are slowed down, usually everything's dropped as far as the notes, you know, the key that the songs are played in, so that the singer can hit these notes, but no, none of that whatsoever. Band was on fire, had an orchestra there as well, and it was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. So, show ends, and we're sitting there in the stands, and people are filing out, and my mate goes, and he's on his phone, and we're just chatting about John Farnham, we're just saying how great it was, and just having a bit of a casual chat, and, you know, we were in no rush to leave, and there's heaps of people leaving the entertainment centre, you know, several thousand people trying to all exit out. So anyway, he gets a phone call, and it's his friend, the backing singer from Farnsey's band, and so he's like, yeah, cool, yeah, no worries, blah, blah, blah. So he gets off the phone, he said, so what do you want to do now? Do you want to go, or do you want to come backstage? So for me, I just played it really cool, because it didn't want to look like I'm, you know, ultra fanboy, and I'm going to be a high risk backstage. So, you know, cool and calm, I just said, yeah, sure, yeah, look, yeah, no worries, I can come over for a bit, you know, I'll have to leave at some stage, like, you know, I have to keep an eye on the time, but I'm not in any massive rush. Inside, I'm just going, holy shit, yes, please, give me the pass so we can go in, I'm going to meet John Farnham, fuck yeah, potentially. So anyway, he hands me a pass, and then off we go. And we go to this cocktail room, got this little lift, find the room, and in we go. And the room's packed. There's heaps of people in there. Heaps of people wearing these passes around their necks, and it looks... I don't recognise anyone immediately, but it looks like they all project this vibe, this persona that they're all important. They're all meant to be there for a particular reason. And immediately, here I am standing there in a fucking Mork and Andy t-shirt with my long hair, just looking around going, I shouldn't be here. I'm an imposter. I've snuck in, even though I've got a pass around my neck. Anyway, we're there. We're trying to look around to see if we can see my mate's friend in the band, and sure enough, we see her, and so we file through all the people, and we go up, and we say hi, and I introduce myself, and then she introduces herself to her two friends. Now, I just, you know, being polite myself, shake the hand, say hi, then I realise that one of the people there is a reasonably well-known Australian actress, and, you know, maybe Mr. Cool and Calm, I just said, oh yeah, hey, how you going? My name's Andy, blah, blah. Didn't mention the band, held myself in, I'm not on a promo track, just keep calm, Andy, just keep calm. So I said hi, and then we just had a casual chit-chat, and my mate brought some cans of coffee that he brought back from Japan that his friend in the band had drunk when she was over there. Just a bit of a gift. So we all talked about Japan, and because I'd been over there a few times, I threw in a few comments along the way, but didn't say too much. And then anyway, the actress who was standing there turned around and said, oh, have you lived in Japan before? Because my friend had mentioned that you lived in Japan. And I said, no, I've been there quite a number of times over the years, touring, and I've taken my fiance over there, and I've gone over for holiday as well, and et cetera, et cetera. And she goes, oh, touring, so you play in a band, do you? In my mind, I go, ka-ching, it's ready to rock. Here we go, get the promo spiel out, you're about to get educated. Of course, on the outside, I went, oh, yeah, I do. Yeah, I play in a band called Lord, minus D-E. Lol, 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 and said, you know, we play sort of an 80s influenced or 80s style heavy metal, a bit like Iron Maiden, and I always throw Metallica in when you're talking to someone who you've got a pretty good idea doesn't really have a massive fascination with music. So I always throw Metallica in there just as a bit of an anchor point that people sort of go, oh yeah, I've heard of that band, or yeah, I know of them. And so anyway, we're having a chat, and her brother was there, and her brother plays in some hard rock band as well, so he was you know, talking about band stuff, so we got off on a tangent when discussing all that. So great brand placement, great product placement, pitching the you know, plugging the band and whatever, and my mate's friend in John Farnham's band was you know, listening attentively as well, and it was great. It was really good. So anyway, we went back and kept talking about Japan for the most part, and about the tour, and it was the last show of the tour, so it was really good. And it got to a point where my mate's friend said, I've got to shuff off and whatnot, so I have to love you and leave yous. And we just said goodbye and just said it was nice to meet each other and whatnot. And so we went to walk out. And anyway, the other two, the actress and her brother, went to walk out with us. Now, my mate's not a huge John Farnham fan in the sense that he really cares whether he's backstage or not. His whole purpose was to meet up with the person that he knew. He does not care about meeting John Farnham. Now, I'm desperately trying not to be the desperate John Farnham fan or fanboy. So I'm keeping cool. So I'm just going, okay, it looks like we're going. Anyway, we sort of stop and we're standing there towards the doorway and we stop and just keep chatting for whatever reason. So we're chatting about Japan and we keep talking about it with this actress and her brother, and it's a great conversation. In the middle of the conversation, we can hear this happy birthday to you in the background, and I look over and here's John Farnham standing there walking up towards someone with a merry men around him, these other people, and he had this scarf on and he was looking all charismatic and glowing and he looked great, and he's singing it and he's leading the charge, and it was someone by the name of Donna. I'm not sure who it was. I thought it might have been his wife, but I don't know his wife's name because his wife was there for the last night, and he had a cake and everyone was clapping and whatever, so we just clapped, and then I looked over and I just, my gut was like telling me, my God, John Farnham's there. I need to go over there. I need to go and say hi to him. I have to go and just like tap him on the shoulder and shake his head and just say, look, thank you. Thank you. I've got nothing else to say. Just thank you so much for everything. Thank you for making me so happy. And that's all I wanted to say. But he was so swarmed. He had people all around him. And you can tell he's a likable guy. Everyone wants to be his friend by the looks of it. I have no surprise to him whatsoever. And everyone's around. He's the life of the party. He's having a laugh and cracking a smile and whatever. And we knew that his wife was there as well. And the possibility that Donna could have been his wife, I'm not sure. But they were all together and the place was packed. And then I was at this crossroad and I thought, do I or don't I? And I decided not to, because I got scared. I got scared for the reason that if I managed to plow my way through the crowd and I got close to him, and I tapped him on the shoulder, that maybe I was interrupting him. Maybe his wife is right there. Maybe he's got some family that are standing right there with him. Maybe he's having a really great time, and the majority of people in this room are people that I've known for a long, long period of time. And maybe everyone except for a couple of us are all regular people that he knows, and that I'm going to be a stranger. And that potentially he's going to look at me and his initial look on his face is going to be, oh, like, who are you? Or, you know, do you have to interrupt me? Or just this look of slight frustration but desperately trying to be polite. And I knew that if I saw that, it would shatter me. Even if he did turn around and was gracious and said, yeah, yep, thanks, yep, I appreciate it, thanks, mate, yep, no worries, and sort of let the go, I think I'd still be shattered. I'd still be shattered that I became that annoying fan, that person that came up and just interrupted. And I just didn't want to ruin this vision I had of him. I didn't want to ruin it whatsoever. He just seems like the coolest person, such a legend, an amazing singer, the best songs. And I was like, no, I'm not doing it. And I made this decision. And then, so I turned back to our group, kept talking, and we just all sort of looked at each other and went, yep, let's go. And mind you, all around the room is all John Farnham's band. I didn't see Brett Garsed, but Olivia Newton-John was there as well. And it was just people that I'd seen and recognised for so many years. I just didn't feel comfortable going up to them. I felt like I was an imposter. I felt like I shouldn't have been there. And it's silly. In hindsight, I kicked myself a little bit, but I was really trying to maintain, I shouldn't say maturity, because it's got nothing about maturity. It was just trying to be calm and cool, and just act like I was meant to be there. Act like this doesn't faze me. I do this all the time. I'm part of the industry. This is whatever. I'm a special person. And I was desperately trying to do that, which, you know, may have bit me in the ass a little bit, but hey, I made that call. I think the night definitely comprised of me juggling multiple hats. There was Andy from Lord looking around and seeing all these people and trying to find an opportunity to talk about the band and get some contacts, and hopefully it'll lead to something down the track where I can call upon these people to get me somewhere in life from a band perspective. But then I had the Andy Carmen cool professional side of things where I just wanted to just act like everybody knew who I was already. I didn't have to say who I was. Just said my name, just said hello. Kept it calm and cool and pretended that I was a very important person. Someone within the industry. Someone that's been in the industry for a long time. Has got a reputation. People know who I am. And if you don't know who I am, then that's, you know, maybe you're a bit disconnected. So that was the hat that I was primarily wearing while I was in this room, because I just didn't want to come across as anything else. I just didn't want to look desperate, because I think any other hat that I had would have an element of desperation to it, or I felt that I would project that in my delivery of whatever I was going to spit out of my mouth. The other two hats were the John Farnham fanboy, where I absolutely was beside myself when I saw him in the room less than 10 meters away from me, and thinking, my God, I've got to do something. Thinking about how much of an influence this guy's been and how much I look up to this guy, and I shouldn't say worship, but I just think this guy's tops. I really do. And the fanboy in me just wanted to go up there. I wanted to get a photo. I wanted him to shake my hand. I wanted to just, you know, get something signed and all that. And then the last hat was the 15-year-old me, who would just be standing there going, what the fuck am I doing here? I'm meant to be in my bedroom, sitting here being a fat slob with no prospects, no hope, no girlfriend, nothing. Playing in front of a mirror with my guitar, pretending to be James Hetfield, and knowing that I'll never be in a band. And then flash forward to right now, where I'm in this room, and I'm standing in the same room as John Farnham, Olivia Newton-John, and all these world-class musicians. And I've had a career in music, and I've played in the band. I've toured internationally. I've released, been a part of albums that have been released, and I've done so much. What the fuck am I doing here? How the fuck did I get here? And so I'm balancing all these four hats, and in the end, the calm, collective, industry, professional hat prevailed, even though it was a bit of a mask in a sense. And I regret in a sense, but obviously the risk was a lot minimal. So that's my story. That's how I didn't meet John Farnham. And now that I'm here out the front of Tim's place, I better go and grab him. I better wrap up this little episode. But I hope one day I get to meet him, and I hope it's not too far down the track. I'd love to just have that opportunity in the right setting where we're all calm, it's relaxed, and I won't be invading his privacy, and maybe we get introduced through a mutual person, who knows, I don't know. And I just get to shake his hand and say that thank you, or I just think that alone, I don't need to be best mates with him, I don't need to go and have a beer, although that would be amazing, but just to have that, just that interaction with him, that acknowledgement, and just to say thanks would be absolutely fantastic. And maybe it might happen. And if it doesn't, I'm pretty happy regardless. So I can't complain. But a great night, a great experience, and regardless of all those missed opportunities, I've now connected with a certain actress via Twitter, who's now aware of our band, and her brother, who plays in a hard rock band that shifts between Sydney and LA, and my mate's friend, who's the backing singer, is also connected with me via Twitter, and look, you know, who knows, our paths may cross in the future as well. So, you know, I did get a little bit of the band networking side of it out of there, even though I didn't intend on it too much initially. So anyway, we'll wrap it up there, and I will see you guys very soon. Ta-ta.